Amen. I want you to open your Bibles to 2 Timothy, 2 Timothy chapter 1. As you're turning there, I'll share something with you, a little story. A little girl came to her mother and asked her where she came from. The mother began to tell her about creation, the Garden of Eden, Adam and Eve, and Jesus. Then the little girl asked the same question of her father. The father told her about evolution and being descended from monkeys. Confused, the little girl went back to her mother and told her what the father said. She asked the mother to explain. And the mother answered, "Oh, that's easy. Your father was describing his side of the family." So this morning, what is the greatest gift a mother can leave her children? And that is a legacy of faith. A legacy of faith. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, according to the promise of life which is in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, my dearly beloved son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God whom I serve from my forefathers with pure conscience, and without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers night and day, greatly desiring to see you, being mindful of your tears, that I may be filled with joy, when I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in you, which dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that is in you also. You know, in this, it's talking about a legacy of faith and what is handed down from one generation to another. In verse 5 of the Passion Translation, it says this, "I'm filled with joy as I think of your strong faith that was passed down through your family line. It began with your grandmother Lois, who passed it on to your dear mother Eunice, and it's clear that you too are following in the footsteps of their godly example." There's really something about the influence of a godly mother and an influence of a godly grandmother, that those are really the power twins, if you will, for a life of someone that's growing up. And in the King James Version, it talked about this. He said, Paul said, "When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in you, which dwelt first in your grandmother Lois, then in your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded it is in you as well." Unfeigned faith. And I looked that up. First of all, I looked up what the word feigned means. And feigned simply means hypocrisy. And it means they play a role like an actor. Someone who's acting out a part. They say one thing, but they actually do another. And other words describing the hypocrisy or the feigned is they put it on. It's a mask. It's not real. It's pretend. It's fake. It's phony. And as the Apostle Paul, this is the Apostle Paul talking about this family. I mean, think about the Apostle Paul talking about you and your family being listed in the Word of God as a family of unfeigned faith. What he was basically saying is they're the real deal. They're not put on. They're not pretend. They're not fake. They're not phony. Their faith is the real thing. It's the real thing. And notice that it came down the line from grandmother to mother, then to son. And the unfeigned in the Greek actually means without hypocrisy. And it means real. It means pure, sincere, honest, genuine. It is uncontaminated by doubt and unbelief. To be in the presence of these women must have been something else. You know, the Apostle Paul had a lot of friends. He did. He lists them out. In the last chapter of Romans, he lists out all the different friends and ministry that he has. And people like this, there was one woman that he listed out, said she was like a mother to me. She was like a mother to me. Well, here he's talking about, first of all, Timothy, who he deeply loved and deeply cared about. And the relationship that he had with grandmother and mother, and that relationship, and, well, really you could say this, Eunice and Lois were the real deal. They were the real deal, and they must be if they were declared by the Apostle Paul to have had unfeigned faith. You know, I've been listening to a particular message by Brother Hagin lately talking about the power of seeing and knowing. And it was a Holy Ghost meeting that he was conducting. And he began talking about this woman in his church. He pastored for 12 years. And many of his stories that Brother Hagin talks about are based on the experiences that he had in this church that he was pastoring. Anyway, this woman had a particular word for the Lord about a situation in the church. And one of the deacons didn't like it, and he didn't like the fact that this woman was giving these words like this. So he went to Brother Hagin and he complained to him. You need to do something about her. You need to stop her. You need to tell her to quit doing this. And Brother Hagin's response to him, which I'll actually give you the quote, he said this: if this had come through any other woman of the church, I might have wondered. But I don't doubt anything this woman says. Now that's coming from Kenneth Hagin over an individual in his church about the word of God coming from her. I would not wonder in the least bit. And that's the way the Apostle Paul felt about mother and grandmother, Eunice and Lois. And there is what I call the mother-grandmother legacy effect. I mean, once you start passing this down the line, it just gets bigger and bigger and bigger. And if you just turn the page a little bit here and go to 2 Timothy chapter 3, I want to read to you in verses 14, 15. And what this did for me in this study that I've done about these two women, it has really given me a deeper appreciation for Timothy and what he did, because I see in Timothy that so much of what he did, where it came from. Where did that emanate from? It came from his mother. It came from his grandmother. And here in 2 Timothy 3, 14 and 15, again, this is the Apostle Paul writing. He said, continue in the things which you have learned and have been assured of, knowing of whom you have learned them. Of whom you have learned them. And verse 15 says, and that from a child you have known the holy scriptures, which are able to make you wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. He's talking about the legacy. He's talking about mother and grandmother. He's talking about where this came from. And in verse 15 in the Passion Translation, it says, remember what you were taught from your childhood from the holy scriptures. It was his mother and his grandmother. Paul was actually reminding what his mother and grandmother taught him as a child. That's how powerful this is. And I have a picture, put the picture up on the screen, that gives you just an image of there's Timothy right in the middle, and then there's grandmother and there's mother, and they're imparting into him. They're speaking over him. They're really, really training him up in the way that he should go. And I think about these mother-grandmother legacy connections and the passing down of these connections. And I thought about something. I had been praying over Aubrey since she was born about who she would marry. That was just something that the Lord put into my heart about my daughter. And all through the time that she was growing up, I tried to be a demonstration to her of what her husband should be. I would do things like open the car door for her. I would do things like seating her at the table. I would just do things that I would like to see her husband. What I was doing was painting a picture for my daughter of what her husband should be. And so praying over him and praying over who this individual might be and believing God for the right one to come into her life. And I thought about it quite often as she got older. I was thinking about the fact of the legacy that she has. The legacy of this ministry, Kenneth and Gloria Copeland, and what they've imparted into their children, into their grandchildren, and how powerful that's been. And I thought to myself, it would be really good for Aubrey to marry someone that she didn't necessarily have to raise, but could be on the same spiritual level with her. That they could both be walking together in this. that she wouldn't particularly marry someone that we need to introduce him to the Bible. It would be much better if she could find somebody, as we've heard this before, you know, you're running your lane, the race in your lane in life, and all of a sudden you look to your right and there's somebody running right along with you. Well, that's what happened with Pastor Terry and me. I was running the race. And when I went to Oral Roberts University, I was hungry. I was hungry for whatever God had for me there. And I'm running this race, and all of a sudden I look to my right, and there's this girl running right along with me. And that was Pastor Terry. Actually, that was skating. We were at a skating place. We were skating together. It was funny when we did that, because we were first really getting to know each other during that particular time. And the brother-sister wing were on a retreat, and we went to this skating rink, and we were all skating out there, and I was starting to get to know her. And I did a test. As I was skating, I would skate up behind her, beside her, and then skate past her just to see what happened in my heart. And I just could tell every time I would skate near her, my heart would beat harder. Then I'd skate away from her, and it would calm down a little bit. Then I'd come back around, I'd skate right beside her, my heart would beat harder. So we were in the same race together. But I wanted that for Aubrey. I desired that for Aubrey. And as a matter of fact, when Aubrey was born, of course we had the birth announcements that we sent out to everybody. But when she was born, about a day or so after she was born, I sat down and took one of those birth announcements. And I wrote her a letter. August of 1986. And I wrote her a letter. And I talked about her future. And who she was going to marry. And what was going to happen. I sealed the letter. Mailed it to our house. Filed it. I never opened it. Because I was holding it. The night before she was married, she spent the night with us. The next morning, we got up and we were in my office, Terry, myself. I went to my file. Gave her the letter. Hadn't been opened since 1986. She read it. And she was reading what she was experiencing the day of her wedding. And I thought, Lord, who would you bring into her life? And it just so happened to be a Timothy-like individual who had a mother and a grandmother like Lois and Eunice. It just so happens to be that his grandmother is Billy Brim and his mother is Shelley. Shelley Oaks, Brim. And I was thinking about that in the light of this. And what they did with Cody, I looked at that picture of Timothy with his grandmother and his mother, and it almost looks like Cody. And how he was raised, and how the Lord was training him. And you need to know this, where both the Copeland family is concerned, and the Brim family, there's strong women in that family. Strong, strong women in that family. Can you tell there's strong women in this family? Strong women in this family. But I was just thanking the Lord yesterday how grateful I was that Cody was brought up in that household and that his grandmother and his mother both imparted this unfeigned faith into his life. And how important that is. How important it is. Mothers, grandmothers. And I know that I'm talking to, that there has to be hundreds of different kinds of family situations in this room today and those that are watching. All different kinds of situations. But the bottom line is this. If you're a grandmother or great-grandmother, how important it is that you impart into those grandchildren. I don't know, maybe you have a, a son and daughter-in-law, or the other way around, that may not be walking with the Lord right now. Maybe they're not going to church, but you have your opportunity to impart into them. It's important. It's important. And the two of you work together. It's really something. I was reading this about how important grandmothers are. Any grandmothers in the room today? Oh, look at those hands go up. Wow. Wow. I was reading this out of a commentary, William Barclay's commentary on the New Testament. And this scripture, I'll just read this to you, Titus 2:4, the older women must teach the younger. And we're talking about the church as well, how important it is in the church that there be spiritual mothers, that they be training and teaching the young ladies in our church. That's biblical. That's the way Paul laid that out to the church. And he used this in here, this story. He said, it is clear that in the early church, the most honored and responsible position was given to the older women. E.F. Brown, who was a missionary in India and knew much about Anglo-Indian society in the old days, relates the most interesting thing. A friend of his on furlough in England was asked, what is your greatest need in India? His surprising answer was grandmothers. Grandmothers. In the old days, there were few older women in the Anglo-Indian society. Those engaged in the administration of the country almost invariably came to the end of their service and returned to Britain while still fairly young. The lack of older women was a serious need. Brown goes on to say, older women play a very important role in society. How large a role one does not realize until one witnesses a social life from which they are almost absent. Kindly grandmothers and mature women are the natural advisors of both young men and women. The older women, to whom the years have brought serenity, sympathy, and understanding, have a vital part to play in the life of the church. So we see here with Timothy, in Timothy's life, his grandmother, his mother, there was an impartation. The only thing they said about the father was he was a Greek. And there's not much more after that about him. That's about it. Dad was a Greek. But mom, she was a believer and a strong believer. And I don't know, maybe they divorced, maybe they separated. He's not mentioned in there. So maybe it was grandmother and mother that were both seeing into Timothy as a child and preparing him for the way that he had before him. And I was thinking about the influence, the results of the influence of those two on Timothy's life. And I want you to look at Acts chapter 16. Acts chapter 16. And this legacy of faith, it continues. It continues on. The things that we put into our children from a very young age. And it is amazing to me now to see my own children. And to see that this year Jeremy's turning 40. Yes, Jeremy Pearson's is turning 40. Aubrey's turning 33. And seeing her with her children. Seeing him with his children. And just standing back from it all. Because sometimes as a parent, you are working so hard. I know that when Terry and I, our lives completely changed when Jeremy was born. Totally changed. As it will, as it should. But I didn't realize just how much our lives would change. I didn't realize that with a baby, everything takes about 80% longer to do, to go anywhere, to go out to dinner, between gathering all the stuff and getting, make sure there's everything that you need for a baby while you're out there. And it just completely changed our lives. And we were speaking into his life. We were speaking into Aubrey's life. And the influences that were around them, I'm so grateful for. I'm so grateful. Excuse me. I'm so grateful for the grandmothers. Gloria Copeland. Sandy Sharp. The great-grandmothers. As Vinetta Copeland. And all of those that had impartation into their lives. That spoke into their lives. So where Jeremy's concerned and Aubrey, just kind of standing back and watching them and seeing what they're doing in their lives. They're all involved in ministry. They're all involved in church. Jeremy and Sarah are about to start a church in Colorado. They're moving to Colorado to start a church. And it's just, I never forced him, if you will. We just guided him. We just directed him, guided him, looked at the gifts that were on the inside of him, encouraged him, did the same thing with Aubrey. And those two just happened to be involved in their churches. And I think it's fascinating with Jeremy because we really didn't plan this. Of course, he and Sarah have had a great traveling ministry for years. We'll continue to travel. But the thing about him was the fact that I was 39 when I started Eagle Mountain International Church. I was 39 when I started pastoring. Jeremy will be 39 when he starts pastoring Legacy Church. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that amazing? And so with Timothy, I'm looking here at Timothy. And in Acts chapter 16, let me read it to you from the Amplified Translation. In verse 1, Paul went down to Derbe and also to Lystra. A disciple named Timothy was there, the son of a Jewish woman who was a believer. She got mentioned again, another mention in the Bible. She had become convinced that Jesus is the Messiah and the author of eternal salvation and yielded obedience to him. But Timothy's father was a Greek. There we go. Make sure, gentlemen, that you don't end up like Timothy's father in the Bible. Because when Terry and I were raising our children, we did it together. We did it together. Well, somewhat doing it together. Sometimes I think Terry raised three children. But anyway, we did it together. We worked together in that. Well, it says that Timothy had a good reputation among the brethren at Lystra and Iconium, and Paul desired Timothy to go with him as a missionary. Isn't that something? Look where he ended up. And I'm thinking to myself, you have to look back at their mother, at his mother and his grandmother. Look what they imparted into him. In the Passion Translation, Timothy was well known and highly respected among all believers of Lystra and Iconium. Paul recognized God's favor on Timothy's life and wanted him to accompany them in ministry. They went out together as missionaries, traveling to different cities where they preached. And I like the Message translation. Friends in Lystra and Iconium all said what a fine man, fine young man he was. And all that he did, again, what was imparted to him? The unfeigned faith, real Bible faith, a faith that was not a pretense, but it was true. It was genuine. It was embedded into him from a child. And I was thinking about all the things that happened to Timothy. Paul called Timothy his beloved son and the faithful in the Lord, and he was his messenger. Timothy stayed with Paul in Rome while he was in prison. He was faithful. In Philippians 2:20, it says, I have no man so like-minded, so dear to me, who will be so genuinely interested in your welfare and will take such good care of you. That's how much he thought about Timothy. And then finally in 2 Timothy 2, 1 and 2 in the New Living Translation, Timothy, my dear son, be strong through the grace that God gives you in Christ Jesus. You've heard me teach things that have been confirmed by many reliable witnesses. Now, teach these truths to other trustworthy people who'll be able to pass them on to others. Proverbs 22:6, train up a child in the way he should go. And when he is old, he will not depart from it. So, musicians, why don't you...